My name is Marcy. I am the community and content manager for Feel Rich. We're very, very honored and excited to be here. So I'm going to let our panel introduce themselves. And I'd like you to tell us a little bit about why you're involved with Feel Rich, how you got connected, and why the message is important.
My name is Milton Harris. I'm a personal trainer based out of Houston, Texas. Feel Rich reached out to me because I train a lot of known people in Houston. I train Slim Thug, I train Paul Wall, I train Bun B and his wife. A lot of those big-name artists in Houston, they come to me to work out. And when they came to me with their idea of reaching out to the communities, you know, it was perfect because, you know, I'm from the urban communities, which they're trying to touch, which they don't get a lot of exposure to this type of life. So that's when I came in, you know, and it works out very well. And if you look at the motto, it's not about the money side of feeling rich. It's about your health and your wellness, you know. And that's what we're trying to preach. That's what we're trying to pitch. So when they brought me in, it worked. Everything worked out perfect.
Thank you. Sean?
My name is Sean Ullman. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Feel Rich. I founded the company with Quincy Jones III and a fellow Austin entrepreneur named Andrew Busey. And we created the company because we looked at the health market and kind of looked at the past of what the ideal health website or stereotypical health person would be. And there wasn't a lot of role models that connected with a multicultural demographic. If you kind of look at the past, it's always been someone like Suzanne Somers or Richard Simmons or who's Jane Fonda. And so this demographic, who we believe needs the help the most, really hasn't had role models talking about health. And so we came up with the idea, and then we also started seeing that Paul lost 150 pounds, and then Fat Joe lost 100.
Yeah.
And then Fat Joe lost 100 pounds, and then Styles P opened up a juice bar in the Bronx. So we saw this kind of health movement, and we were like, this is our opportunity to really capture this and make this into a national health movement, to where the first time ever kids who are looking up to their role models and talking about health and trying to get them to lead a healthier, more active life. And it's been an experience and a lot of fun, and that's my story.
Hi, I'm Crystal Wall. I am the wife of this guy right here, Paul Wall. And I just kind of got involved by accident. To be completely honest, I mean, I guess it wasn't really by accident. I was speaking on behalf of Paul and just like how our family changed our eating habits and just as far as working out and things, how it all changed when he lost weight. And it was just, you know, it just kind of all happened. Like, he started getting fine and I was like, well, I want to get fine too. Like, he can't leave me in the dust, you know. And then, you know, we start noticing things just with the kids and kind of putting more vegetables in the food that we would cook. And, you know, if we made spaghetti, we'd make sure there was carrots and onions and bell pepper and just, you know, instead of there just being empty calories there, let's put some good stuff in there along with it, and trick them too, because, you know, you can't get kids to eat vegetables on their own. It's not that easy. But if the carrots are in there and they don't know, you know, it's a win-win for both of us. So, yeah, I just said all that stuff in the interview, and they approached me about doing my own recipe blog on Feel Rich. And I love the movement. I love the idea of getting the hood healthy, or just the urban community in general. Just, you know, reaching out. Growing up, I didn't have that. You know, I didn't know anything about portion control or not drinking soda. You know, I didn't grow up that way. I grew up cleaning my plate. You clean your plate, that's how you get your next, you know, your dessert or your drink. My grandmother wouldn't even let us have a drink until we finished all of our food. So when they came to me with, when they were saying, you know, hey, we want you to talk about this and that, and I was like, oh, yeah, oh yeah, I'm on board, because children need to know that. Mothers need to know that. Other moms like me need to know that, because there's a lot of people that didn't grow up that way. Anyways, yeah, and then I just decided, you know, if I'm going to be talking about it, I really need to live it. And I started going to Zumba, and I lost 40 pounds in Zumba, which is awesome. Lost 40 pounds in Zumba, and like I said on the video, which I didn't realize I was that country, but I am, you know. I am country. I'll own it. It's me. But yeah, like, I lost 40 pounds doing Zumba, and it didn't feel like a workout. I hate running. I really do. I hate running. I hate lifting weights. You know, that's why Milton didn't put me in the mix, because I don't like it. I will run from it, you know. But Zumba was dancing for an hour, and after that hour, I felt great. And I felt like, okay, I've done this all day with my kids. I've ran around taking care of the kids, and I came in a bad mood, left out of Zumba, like, I can do it again. I'm ready. You know, even Paul was like, you've been drinking? What's going on? But, yeah, so I fell in love with Zumba and decided I'm going to teach this. I want to teach it to other people, other moms. And it's not even about, it's not a black, white, it's not a racial thing. It's like, let's just have fun. I want to teach it to as many people that will listen, as many people that will come and enjoy the class, because it just feels that great to me. And I think it's wonderful to spread the word and spread the message and Zumba onto other people. Sorry, I talk a lot. My bad.
Hello, what it do? I'm Paul Wall. I'm a rapper. I'm also the president of the Texas chapter of the Grammys, and about to be trustee, national trustee. After I lost a lot of weight, my weight has been up and down my whole life. I've always been a little heavier than others, but sometimes I'll be a little, or sometimes I'll be a lot heavier than others. So, you know, at one point I became morbidly obese, and the doctor told me, you know, I needed to do something about it. And when I ended up, he also told me that if you're 50 pounds overweight, it takes 15 years off your life. And me being a father, a husband, and me just enjoying and loving my life, I'm not trying to go nowhere, and I don't want to wait till it's too late to try to make a change. And also, knowing that I'm a role model, I want to help encourage other people to try to make a change for the better in their habits, so that they don't have the same problems and such a big uphill climb that I had. So when I lost my weight, I was approached by QD3, Quincy Jones III, and Sean, and they told me about the company, and they wanted to interview me for it. And I interviewed me, and just to talk about my story, how I lost weight. And then after that, it just was, you know, went hand in hand, because this is something I'm passionate about not only being healthy, but teaching a healthy lifestyle. Because in rap, you know, most rap music, and myself too, I'm a victim to this, where we promote partying, the party style of it, the partying and excess, drinking too much, and all the bad habits to go along with it, you know. And we don't really promote eating, you know. You don't hear rappers talk about organic milk, or, you know, there's a couple of vegan rappers out there, but there's not too many, you know what I'm saying? Especially here in Texas, there's no vegan Tex-Mex, no vegan barbecue, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's just something I'm passionate about, and just encouraging others so that, you know, generations from now, you know, you can see that there are role models in this, you know. And I didn't have any role models growing up who were losing weight. You see people I had role models die of being overweight, but I didn't have role models that were losing weight. So I just felt like, you know, maybe I could be a role model to someone else to encourage them to get their life together and be healthy. And that's how I teamed up with Feel Rich.
We're so glad to have you on Team Feel Rich. Paul's story is actually one of the most compelling bits of content we have. And I think, Sean, I think you should speak a little bit about how we've started through sort of creating all this content, creating this library, and then now taking it to really the social media platform that it's growing into. We showed a few of the videos here as we started. So talk a little bit about just the social media and taking sort of this media company wider.
When QD3 and I came up with the idea, the main goal was, you know, how do we attract the attention of a 12-year-old or 13-year-old who has been just, you know, plastered with McDonald's and Nike, and you know, there's PSAs of LeBron James saying eat your vegetables, and then the next commercial is LeBron James pitching Chicken McNuggets. And so it was a really difficult mixed message that we were trying to figure out what was the best way to grab their attention. And so when you're 12 or 13 years old, you're really focused on coming up in the world and status or getting the girl or getting the guy. You don't really care about living to 80 years old because you're 12, you're invincible. So what we did is we figured out that Phil Rich, I mean, everyone wants to make money and better themselves. And the best way to do it is when you feel rich, you become rich. I mean, we all have experienced that time when we're just completely in the flow and feeling good. And we just, it's usually when your body's, you know, you're eating the right stuff and you're feeling good. So we came up with the concept and we pitched a bunch of shows to networks, and they were like, our audience isn't really going to want to watch this stuff. There needs to be more drama. There needs to be more conflict. And we were like, you know, we disagree. And so we were like, let's just go do this on our own. So we went and self-funded the company, and we shot over 200 hours of content. And we just started putting it up on the web and on YouTube. And we launched the company December 1st, 2011. And it's been 3 months, and we have over 3 million views on YouTube, which is more than, like, Weight Watchers, Jenny Craig, and WebMD. And we have 80,000 Twitter followers, and it's amazing to see the tweets that we're getting from the community, because they're coming to us asking us, hey, I'm at McDonald's, what should I get? Or, hey, I'm 14, and I don't have a lot of money. Where should I go to, or what should I do to start working out? And so we're using this social media strategy because we didn't have a lot of money and the networks weren't interested in our content. So we just took it to the streets, and the streets are talking and they're loving it. And, you know, it's been an amazing ride. And the, I think the 3 million views is like the most, like, satisfying thing to see, because it proves a point that this demographic wants this information.
It's just, for
a health company, that it's 3 million views, but it shows that this demographic wants this information. It's just how you approach it and how you speak to them. And I think we've figured that out because the numbers are speaking.
I think that today we went to the Boys and Girls Club here in Austin. We had 425 kids show up running around doing Zumba, and it was amazing. At the end of Crystal's first Zumba set, you would have thought she was Madonna. Like, they rushed her, and it was just so obvious that they are looking for someone, these kids, and it was a really, I would say, culturally diverse group of children, but they want someone that looks like them and talks like them and is having fun. Nobody wants to run the mile in PE. And I think, speaking of drama, what Sean was saying about the content, like, we want more drama, it needs to be more conflict. A lot of people care these days about what basketball wives are doing or eating, or what hip-hop, you know, love and hip-hop is. And I think Crystal was saying today that, you know, tell us a little bit about being a role model in that sense of sort of shifting the energy in a more positive way.
Yeah, well, I was telling her earlier, you know, that I think, because my video on Phil Rich, with no promotion, has how many views?
500,000.
500,000 views. No promotion at all. And I'm blown away by it. I'm like, really, people care that much about what I have to say? But I think part of it is that right now in our culture, this day and age, everybody is wrapped up in what housewives have to say. What are they doing? You know, we got the Real Housewives of Atlanta, Beverly Hills, Hawaii, and everywhere else in America. And, you know, we have even Mob Wives and Love and Hip Hop. But I think, you know, this is a positive twist on it, because now it's showing, hey, I'm a housewife, yes, but I'm doing something positive. I want to make a difference. I want to make a change. You know, I'm a mother. It's showing, like, the real side of what a housewife not necessarily what a housewife does, but this is a positive turn on things, you know, trying to get healthy, trying to get fit, trying to get other people in my family and just in my community healthy and fit, and making a difference with the children in our community, because that's kind of where it starts. You know, we want to reach out to the kids. We want to teach them about eating their vegetables, about organic foods, you know, because then maybe they don't have to deal with obesity in the future, or maybe they won't have to deal with diabetes, you know. So, yeah. So that's all I was saying about
the house. One step at a time.
One step at a time. And that's the other thing. I'm not saying, I think this is what makes it all relatable. It's because I'm not a size two. I'm not an itty bitty woman. I'm a woman who eats. I cook with butter. I'll say it. I'll be the first. Oh, Lord, butter. I do. I cook with butter. But I also believe in portion control. And I don't think a lot of people don't teach that to their children, you know. And so, you know, I believe in portion control. I do cook with butter. I am a real woman. I think that's what makes me relatable to people, you know. And much needed face within this space.
In the health landscape, there really is no one like this. I think that one of the things that we are seeing through our Twitter, and I want Milton to speak a little bit about this, but Crystal mentioned something. It's a luxury to have a personal trainer. I think it's a luxury to shop at Whole Foods. It's something that a lot of people don't have access to. So with our health advisors, which we have three health advisors right now, Milton is our first and foremost. It's really cool to see them answer questions in Twitter and get their clients involved and get non-clients involved. So talk a little bit about how you use Twitter to get people active and, you know, to promote your business, which is health.
Well, the social community helps out a lot because, you know, you can have people that you may never see in person, but you got this guy in California that might need help. Like the one that was on YouTube that was reaching out, how we were talking about going to help him. You can reach out to him and give him tips, give him advice that might motivate him to jumpstart his life, kick off, you know, him to reach higher heights that he's never even thought about, you know. So that's the good thing about it. You can reach out in so many different ways. I don't like to keep a person. I like to switch up my workouts. When I take a person and train them, like when we took Paul off, I didn't have him on the bench press all day long. You know, we worked out. We did boxing type of thing. We went outside. We ran, and we started to post videos. And when you start getting interactive with people like that, you know, everybody starts to catch on. And it seems to be like it's getting cool now, like it's a fad. And I don't ever want it to go away, but it seems like everybody's catching on. Everybody wants to be healthy, and that's what we want to see happen. It's starting to turn.
Sean, talk a little bit about, Milton said, you know, taking it to the next level, and that's what we're all about. It's not just health for health reasons. It's really, if we see these rappers getting the Bentleys and getting the things, knowing that health can get them there. So talk a little bit about that and where you see Feel Rich, you know, projected maybe in the next 2 years.
I kind of briefly spoke about it earlier, which was to grab the attention of the kids. We wanted to not just say eat vegetables and become healthy. It was more of like, look, here's a way that you can become, if you want to become the next LeBron James, the next Steve Jobs, this is the way that's going to do it, because health will get you there. You know, if you're an artist, it's going to make your concerts livelier. If you're a ball player, it's going to make your game livelier. If you're an entrepreneur, it's going to make your hustle better. If you're a student, it's going to make you study better. So we're really just kind of making health cool. I mean, when QD3 and I sat down, we were like, we really want to do what Steve Jobs did for tech nerds, which was making tech nerds cool. We want to make health cool. And in 3 months, we've been able to grab the community's attention and get them to start actively taking the next best steps. Where I see the company in 2 or 3 years, I mean, our goal is to have Feel Rich become a major health establishment, to where we have health products and we are in schools and we're working with managed care providers. We're currently talking to a couple of health insurance companies, which has been a gigantic headache. Because what we did is we studied our back-end analytics and we figured out that part of our demographic is the Medicaid demographic. And they're coming to us asking us questions. And so we went to a healthcare company saying, look, we have the attention of your members. We can really help you guys get them to start doing better well visits and diabetes medicine and prenatal care. And they were like, this is great. This is awesome. Just one thing. Can you make sure, like, the artists don't show their tattoos? And I'm like, I mean, like, Paul would have to wear a burqa, okay? So, like, not show his tattoos. And I'm like, I mean, your members have tattoos. And so it's been an interesting, you know, experience with working with them. But to answer your question, I mean, we really want to be everywhere. We want to be in the schools. We want to be working with healthcare providers. We're getting into hospitals right now where doctors are going to be passing out Philrich pamphlets. You know, as well as the media and entertainment aspect of it. We're also building out a mobile app right now that's going to keep a calorie track and offer food and advice and have a GPS in there that will tell you healthy options within a 2-mile radius.
Cool. You can see the site. I mean, we're not going to really go into it, but the site's very 101. It's very basic. It's very, if you are just starting to work out, if you're just starting to eat healthy, some people don't really even know what portion control means. You know, they control top pantyhose. You know, they don't know what that means. So we're using, slowly figuring out, okay, they don't really like Facebook as much, but they like Twitter. They're tweeting us questions there. But we're like, why aren't they engaged over here? We posted a picture of this person, Rihanna, on a treadmill. They should love that. So talk a little bit about the innovative ways that you're using social media to figure out how. And I'd like to just hear from the panel, like, yeah, feedback you've gotten since you've been involved with the movement, and then we'll open up for questions.
So I would say the biggest thing that we've done so far is we teamed up with Nike Plus, and we created a running challenge between Paul Wall versus rapper Nori, who's a New York-based rapper. Actually, Paul Wall is actually getting killed right now in the running challenge. But it was for the month of March. Actually, I think we can pull it up on the site. Basically what each person, I don't know if y'all have used Nike Plus, but it's 345 to 249.
So close.
So basically Paul Wall and Nori picked up, why don't you talk about it?
Nori from Capone Noriega, he's a friend of mine, and, He runs a lot. I used to run a lot too when I was trying to lose weight, and it didn't really seem to work for me in terms of losing weight. Most people don't like to run, but I don't know. I kind of like to run. I like the feeling. You know, you get to focus, and this is something I like. But he's done this before. Like, well, he'll put a team together against a radio station, and he had the idea. It was like, hey, why don't we do a challenge? I'll put a team together, and you put a team together. So we basically got other entertainers, some other rappers, some DJs, just people in the entertainment field and the entertainment industry, and it's just cumulative, my whole team against his whole team for the whole month of March. And you can see every, you know, as soon as I log a mile and I, you know, push in the workout, it goes to the tally. But, you know, part of why I'm getting killed is because he's got, like, marathon runners on his team. You know, all my team members, one of them just came back from Costa Rica. The other one don't even have an iPhone. So, you know, I'm getting killed. But
what's the most interesting about the Nike Plus Interactive is it's really helped build our community, because everyone's tagging Philrich when they're leaving a gym or leaving the run. You know, they like, oh, just left the gym, I feel rich. Just put in 7 miles, I feel rich. You know, obviously hip-hop is based on competition and beefing and who's better than, you know, the next MC. And so we kind of gathered that spirit and fueled it into, you know, positive activity. And what's the best thing about this is we're seeing is all the kids are asking us how they can get involved in this competition, because they want to compete against Paul and Nori. And we're not there yet. That's the next level. But the fact that, you know, we're getting 50 to 60 tweets of kids asking us, like, how do we enter the contest? It's heartbreaking to say, like, look, I'm sorry, you can't. But eventually in phase two, we will be able to, you'll be able to compete against Paul and Nori on your own.
And I know Milton's business is boomed a little bit because of the Twitter. Tell us a little bit about how you've seen that.
Yeah, it's really starting to pick up a lot because, you know, you get a lot more exposure, like you were saying, through the interactive part and the social websites. You get a lot more exposure. And I like how the challenge is going also, man. You get people every day asking about it when they can actually see it and become a part of it and talk to you about it and sit down with you and interact with you about it like that. That draws people to it. And I'm like what you're saying earlier, you got to start when they're early. If we can catch them early, it becomes a habit. Because I want them to be mad when they don't work out or when they eat this cookie. I want you to feel guilty. I want to see you tweet it. So as soon as you tweet it, hey, I see your tweet. So and I'm retweeting and I'm talking right back to you. So that, I mean, it's great. As far as me picking up more clients and everything, that's not really what it's all about to me. If I have one client or if I have 20 clients. If I take that one client, I take him from 300 to 220, my goal's accomplished. I love it.
Love it. Do we have any questions? I'd love to hear from the audience. Start here. Oh, and because it's for the podcast, I do need you to speak into the microphone, so I will bring it to you.
Hi, my name is Natalie Villalobos, and I'm a community manager for Google+. So I'd love to talk to you guys more about Google+ stuff later. But
you know, Paul Wall has a million on Google+.
Yeah, we've been working with you on that. Thank you. So one of the areas that I hang out in a lot is West Oakland, coming from the Bay Area. I have some friends who, you know, like the houses are just not the kind of houses you want to be raising a lot of kids in. But some of the houses have fallen apart, and now there's just open plots of land. So my friends are actually buying up that land and starting organic gardens and teaching the young kids like how to, you know, grow their own food, how to cook their own food, and how to invest in their environments, in their own neighborhoods. And I was wondering, do you guys have plans for any offline initiatives to get youth engaged in their environments and gardening and cooking and kind of taking this lifestyle into the homes? Because, you know, it's not just about like the young kids, but then they get to teach their parents instead of their parents having to teach them.
Yeah, I mean, we're doing that right now with Crystal. Crystal's been amazing, and she kind of spoke to it a little bit. We kind of fell upon her on accident. We were doing a documentary on Paul and his weight loss, and we were like, hey, can we talk to your parents? And he was like, they're out of town. And he was like, but you can talk to my wife. And we went and talked to Crystal, and everyone just fell in love with her. And obviously the community is falling in love with her because she has 500,000 views on YouTube, and the Zumba video just hit 130,000 in 1 week. So we're really leveraging Crystal because she's very, very relatable, and the kids love her. And so like today we went to the Boys and Girls Club, and we had the largest, event in their history of Austin. There was 425 kids there, and she took them all through a Zumba class. We're working right now with her on a show called Kicking It with Crystal, and we're going to start a tour with that where she's showing you healthy, affordable, really easy meals, and also is gardening that you can do in your backyard. And so we're going to start with the videos, and then we're going to start doing the tour just like we're doing with Zumba. Like we're leaving tonight to go to Dallas because Dallas has asked us to come for Crystal to put on a Zumba class. So right now the focus is on just getting kids to move and be active. And then we're going to follow that up with the gardening and the healthy cooking.
We're definitely looking for partnerships and trying to navigate through all of them as we're figuring out which ones were best. I'm going to go here, and then I'll move.
I'm CJ Peters from Console Kings. Video gamers, we kind of sit down a lot. But Paul, I wanted to ask you, you dropped 100 pounds. So at what point, like, how did you fight through the beginning? Because I know it's hard when you're trying to change your body. How do you fight through the beginning? And then at what point did you see the results of all your hard work start to happen?
Man, I tried forever. Like I said, I've been up and down on my weight all my life since I was a kid, since I was 12 years old. And, and part of that comes from just growing up, you know, where you're encouraged to eat all your food. In Texas, if you're big, then everybody loves you because you're going to be a big football player. So they love you when you're big. And when you're skinny, then you're looked at as being weak. And so, you know, you want to be bigger. But then when you get out of high school and you don't go to the NFL, You know, you're still used to eating, you know, the extra meals and cleaning your plate. You're used to that lifestyle, the habits of all the extra eating, but you don't have a way to work it off. I'm not, you know, you're not playing football anymore. So you, in, you know, when you have the choice and the option to go to the gym as opposed to doing it every day for class and, you know, after school activities where you're a member of the team, it's a little different when you're provided that option. A lot of people take the easy route. You know, I was one of them. And then along with the lifestyle of drinking, sipping syrup, pills, trying to lose weight. So I'm taking diet pills. And then when I lose weight, okay, I'm going to go back to my partying. You know, it really messed up my metabolism and just everything to where I couldn't lose weight. So I was running. I was running 6 miles a day, eating nothing but grilled fish and salads, and I wouldn't lose weight. And I was trying and trying and trying, and it got to the point where I couldn't lose any weight. And I didn't really know what to do because I was gaining weight. And I was in California a lot, and I used to always see these billboards, and when I listened to the Dodger games on the radio, sometimes I always talk about lap band. I'm like, what is the lap band? So I had a homeboy who really encouraged me, and we went in to get it together. He didn't end up getting it, just me, but, you know, it really saved my life. I didn't get the lap band. I got a different procedure called a sleeve. And I had a lot of other homeboys, you know, here and there, like Big Boy from Power 106 and a couple other people who had different weight loss procedures and seeing how it changed their life. And for me, you know, you see people who have different, like, weight loss procedures like that, and they become, like, ashamed to talk about it or embarrassed. And, you know, but it's, if you don't do anything, then you have a heart attack, then people are going to be like, oh, why didn't you have, you know, he could have had surgery, he could have did this and that, you know. But, you know, and I felt like for me to get it and to share that with other people, maybe I could encourage others. You know, it wasn't my first option to get weight loss surgery. It was my last resort and my last option. I tried everything else and nothing worked. And it was my own fault because of my over excess and partying and not taking responsibility for my life. And that's why we're doing things now, like going to the Boys and Girls Club, trying to teach the youth, encourage them to get their health together so that they don't make the same mistake I did and do that. But after I had the surgery, the weight kind of came off slowly and slowly. And when I had the surgery, I was like, you know what? It was 2 years ago on New Year's Eve. And when I had it, me and my wife together, we made a decision that we're going to change our life. And we had two kids. So she had a little bit of baby weight on there. She had gained, she lost 40 pounds from Zumba, but she had gained like 100 pounds from the babies. So she lost more than 40 pounds. It's just due to, she just, you know, crediting Zumba for the 40 pounds. So she lost more than that. But we, you know, together we just made a decision that, you know, we're going to change our life because we don't want our kids to grow up and to be obese. We don't want them to grow up and to think that this is the way you should live your life, you know, overeating and eating fast food every day. And, you know, when you eat things like dessert, it should be a treat. It shouldn't be expected at every meal. Same with soda. You know, soda is something that, you know, it's a treat. You shouldn't, every time you drink a drink, it shouldn't be soda or something unhealthy. It should be like it should be a benefit or you know, yeah. So, you know what I'm saying? It should be, you know what I'm saying? So this is just something that we made a decision that together we're going to change our life. And as the weight started coming off and I was doing other things, like I really started getting active, doing mixed martial arts training, working out with Milton. Milton really, like, put a whole plan together for me. And it really just took it to another level. And it just, you know, and you could just see the weight coming off, and it kept coming off. And it was like, man, you know what? I'm so glad I did this, because if I wouldn't have did that, I might not be here talking to y'all. You say, it might be somebody up here sitting with a Rest in Peace Paul Wall shirt on instead. You know what I'm saying?
The interesting thing with Paul and his story was, and we talked to his doctor about it, was it literally was his last option because of all the partying and diet pills and excessive drug use and his metabolism was completely shot. So this was his only option. And he spent 3 to 6 months working extremely hard trying to get it off. And it was just, I mean, the body was just damaged. So we feel like that story is an important story to tell. And we're saving it, you know, not for the web, but for network television. Because, you know, like Paul was talking about, I mean, rap just has this connotation of excessive partying and excessive lifestyle, and we need to show what could happen if you're actually living it every single day. And so that's why, you know, Paul's a huge role model for these kids.
And I think the surgery made him just take responsibility, you know. It made him, after the surgery, he had to worry about what he ate, you know. Like, he had to make sure he ate the right amount or he'd get sick. He had to make sure he ate the right thing or he'd get sick. You know, he couldn't drink soda because he'd get sick. You know, so I think it just made him be responsible for his own life, basically, and for his health. It pushed him because he needed that. If he hadn't, then who knows where he would have been right now. But he really, really, he needed that. I'm just saying that as a wife, you know. Yeah, just
and another thing, that's what it's going to take. I mean, because that's why we reach out to the kids so much, because you don't want them to have to go to a last resort. You don't want to see them go through that, you know. So if you reach out to them early, they won't even need that. Because a lot of people don't know it. I'm not only just Paul Walsh's trainer, I'm his friend. I've been knowing him like maybe 15 years. Him, Slim, but we all came up together. So, and when I used to tell those, hey, man, come to the gym, let's work out. Because I haven't always been a trainer. You know, I played football or whatever, went to college and all that. So when I got my breaks, you know, I'd go to the show with them and just see what they were eating. I'm like, man, y'all hurting yourself, man. And, you know, ha-ha, okay, Milton, yeah, whatever. Football. I'm like, all right, man, I'm telling you, man. So, you know, I was telling them that out of passion as a friend. But now, you know, it's business. Now, let's get it. We're in the gym. Let's do it, man. No turning back now. I mean, because the doctor has told you, an expert has told you, you know. The friends told you, the doctors told you, your wife's telling you. So, you know, it's time to get it. And we don't want people to have to go through that and take that last option, you know. So,
And one more thing is, you know, it's real that these guys are actually living this lifestyle, because Marcy and I were with Fat Joe last night. He had a concert, and he got off stage at 3 a.m., and these guys were starving. I was like, let's go to IHOP. And these guys were like, no, man, they went back. They had, like, their own prepackaged, like, what was it, like, Campbell's soup, and, like, they had their own crackers. And I was like, you know what, these guys are actually, like, living it. And I was the bad guy being like, let's go to IHOP. And these guys were like, you know, had the prepackaged meals that what they're starting to travel with, which is great to see. And I mean, we were really proud to see that, you know, these guys are actually walking the talk.
Great. Well, first of all, just on behalf of everyone, thank you. I mean, it is Paul. It's incredibly inspiring. It's a world leader. It's to do what you're doing, be up there and talking about it. It's so important. It'd be so easy not to do it. So first of all, thank you.
Thank you.
An observation and then a question to the notion of partnership. To the lady in front who was talking about Oakland, I live in Oakland. There's an interesting organization there that you may want to partner with that has attained scale by working through the schools. And so they address the calories in. You guys are addressing the calories out. Great partnership. Is a company called Revolution Foods. They serve 150,000 lunches a day to low-income and charter schools across the country. They're an amazing organization. I work for a venture fund. We have an investment in them. Happy to put you in contact with them. They're amazing.
We actually have a call with, I think, is it Ansley Sterling? One of the, I think it's maybe a partner in your firm.
And
we'll talk about it, yeah.
Yeah, there. So that's great. So that's the partnership. A question I have for you is really about behavior change, because you guys are tapping into a really interesting modality of behavior change, which is tapping into people's notion of future income and wealth and success. I'm curious about the word rich, that you guys are, you know, your insight there. How far do you push the messaging of if you do this, you will become wealthy? There's a lot of subtlety to it. How do you guys navigate that if you do this, wealth will come?
It's very subtle. I mean, if you watch a lot of the videos, no one's talking about it. We have, I think, 12 or 15 videos up. Never once, except for Styles P, talks about, juicing makes you feel rich, and then he feels better, so he gets into the studio and he makes a better rhyme, and then he gets paid more. Other than that, no one else. Crystal doesn't talk about it in her video. Milton doesn't talk about it in his video. Our tweets are not about focused on becoming wealthy. It's just a way to grab the attention of the kids. and they love the logo and they love the feel of Feel Rich. And then it's just a way to draw them in. And we're not preaching like money-driven success. It's just a way to just grab their attention and just get them to start watching health videos.
It seems too that when you're in school, people, you know, they talk to you about going to college or what are you going to do for your job or career, those type of things. And but they don't really, you know, and sometimes they talk about health, but it's always like super corny, you know. We want to teach that your body is something you should invest in too. You know, just like you might invest in a company or you might invest in a relationship or you might, whatever you might invest in, your body is something that you should also invest in. If you don't invest in it and you treat it poorly, then, you know, it's going to come back on you. And people don't see that a lot of times. And even when people do see that, like when someone dies from a heart attack or from being overweight and having, you know, something like that, or a drug overdose, it's, you know, it's sad at first and people say, oh yeah, I need to get, but it didn't really, you don't really see people change their life around because of that too much. Well, at least I don't, you know. So it's just something we wanted to, you know, we want to preach that you should invest in your body. And if no matter what you have, if you don't feel good and you don't have good health, then you really don't have the wealth that you might have. Even if you have millions in the bank, if you don't have your health in your body, you can't enjoy it. Or you might be spending all your money on doctor bills later on, trying to get rid of, you know, whatever, on cancer or whatever you might develop, because there's so many diseases, especially in the urban communities. Black and Hispanic kids born after 2000, 50% of them have diabetes. And that's an incredible statistic right there that a lot of people don't address. And I had, you know, with my weight loss, I had a lot of things. I was pre-diabetic. I had hypertension, sleep apnea, a lot of things. And immediately after I started losing weight, all those things went away. And, you know, any doctor you go to, if you have diabetes, you know, or other diseases, they're, you know, like that, like health-related diseases, they're going to say, yo, you need to lose weight. And we're trying to attack it instead of attacking it on the way out. We're trying to attack it from the beginning stages, and that's a great idea. What you said, the suggestion with the food, because that's also, you know, what you intake also, you know, is a big part of it. And that's just something we want to, you know, we want people to invest in their bodies now. So invest in your health now as a kid, so you develop these healthy habits, so that as time goes on later on in life, you're going to remember what you, you know, because even now we remember some things that we're taught in school. Some of those things stick with us. Some of those habits that we picked up, they stick with us. So, you know, this is something we want to just develop and encourage these healthy habits.
Thank you, Paul.
Hi, my name is Jesse. And I just wanted to say that even though I grew up eating very well and with gardening and all, that I was self-employed in my early 30s and actually all the way up till just a couple years ago, but was really struggling financially. And so I had scarcity mentality. Like, so I knew about being healthy, but I would go to the grocery store with, you know, $37 in my pocket, and that was all I had. And when I started to eat healthy, like really consciously, like I just moved to an abundance mentality because I was taking care of myself, and then I started making more money and my career started changing. It was like fascinating to experience. Even though I knew about health, but it was more like scarcity versus abundance. So, but I currently I work for an organization. My name's Jesse. I work for an organization called the Columbia Association, which is a quality of life organization in a very wealthy county. And we have amenities galore. We have paths and lakes, and we also have gyms and things that you have to pay for. And one of our challenges, of course, is like how do you get people who don't. Not everyone's going to be able to buy a gym membership. And we have really generous 75% moderate income reduction, you know, 75% reduction prices and very generous things. But we still don't, you know, that, how do you get people to want to exercise and want to value this? So my curiosity in listening to you guys is what, and this may be premature, but have you found really good apps that help kind of micro choices around health that you feel are good for your target audience? Like, I packed my lunch today and I had a piece of fruit. And, you know, are you finding that? And are you finding, like, when you're looking at technologies or things that, you know, I hear that this is about social media and, you know, pushing your content out, but in terms of engaging people for behavior change, like, what are you looking at? Or has anyone approached you? Or are you considering making an app?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's not anything that targets our demographic, so we're making an app. And that's the goal. I mean, we looked at everything that's currently out there, and it doesn't target this demographic. It's more, again, catered towards more affluent females who want to, you know, track their calories and figure out what to buy at Whole Foods. And that's not our demographic, so we're building an app.
And I just would like to, just a quick follow-up, which is, and excuse the insensitivity if there is any in my question, but, like, what's the best technology? Like, is it the mobile phone? Is it to assume that everyone has a smartphone?
It's going to be a mobile. Our demographic's going to be mostly through mobile. We've realized that they're watching all of our YouTube views on through their mobile phone. We put a lot of hope and investment into our Facebook page, and our Twitter page just blew up. And that's where they're contacting us every single day. So our focus right now, we're going to go out and raise money to hopefully, you know, focus more on mobile.
One thing you said, too, about the scarcity, you know, and me and my wife and my family, we moved to California. We moved to L.A., Woodland Hills, the Valley. We were out there for a couple of years. We originally moved out there to record an album. I was recording an album out there, and the lifestyle, there's a lot of things that you don't realize growing up in Texas is so different than the rest of the world, especially compared to somewhere like Los Angeles. So us being there, there's so many vegan options, vegetarian options. It's encouraged. It's cool to be a vegan. Travis Barker's a vegan. You know, that right there make me want to be a vegan. Oh, you're a vegan? Okay, I'm going to be a vegan too. But you can't be a vegan. And you can't be a vegan in Houston, Texas. You know what I'm saying? And also, there's so many different choices. Every grocery store you go in has everything organic. They have more organic choices than they do non-organic choices. But coming back, when we moved back to Houston, we noticed that all the grocery stores would only have maybe one organic choice, and it costs twice as much as the regular. And it's a shame that it should be the opposite. You know, it's a shame that the healthy choice and things like organic milk or organic vegetables, organic milk and organic eggs, those things really help in brain development in kids and in babies. And when we had kids, my wife, not really me, my wife was reading every book you can read on, you know, the brain development. We want our kids to be geniuses and to be game changers in the world. We want them to grow up to be that, you know. And so we're trying to help develop their brain. And it's a shame that in the low-income areas where people can't even afford to pay their bills sometimes, you know, there's no way they're going to buy some organic milk for $6 a gallon when they can get a $2 gallon of milk, yeah, a $3 gallon of milk. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's a shame. And so, I mean, one of the ways to target, there's a lot of ways to target that. But I think that if people like us are encouraging other people to ask and demand organic things, you know, when we go to the grocery store, I know they don't have a lot of organic choices, but still every time I ask, do you have any more organic? Do you have any more organic choices? Because just when the salespeople see that request, they're going to pass that on. Oh, people want more organic. People want more organic. And then eventually, you know, you get the big businesses that are mass producing the milk and the eggs and the meat and all those kind of things. Eventually that will help because they're seeing dollar signs. They're going to say, oh, well, customers want organic, so let's offer them more organic option. You know, but, man, what you said is so true. When people can't afford to pay their bills, you know, the last thing on their mind is, are they going to eat organic or not?
Hi, my name is Ivor Horn. I'm a pediatrician. I live in Washington, D.C.
I'm sorry, can you speak up? It's hard to hear.
Sorry, my name is Ivor Horn. I'm a pediatrician. I live in Washington, D.C., and I applaud you guys for what you're doing. I have six-year-olds who come to my practice who weigh more than me.
Wow.
So what you're doing is really powerful. I serve in an underserved population who look up to entertainers and ballers and things like that. And it's really important to get the message out. And what she was just talking about and what you were just saying about what's available to them, there's only two grocery stores now. It used to be one grocery store available in the community. And what they get in their grocery store and what I get in my grocery store are same company, totally different things. And I think what's really important is not just sort of helping people start where they are, because there might not be anything organic in their grocery store, and even if it is, if I have a choice between buying this much with my $20 and this much with my $20 for my kids, I'm going to buy this much with the $20 for my kids. So really sort of taking and bridging that gap to say, what are some of the things that you can do with that $20 to stretch it? And what are some programs like the TANF programs? How can you use those to get to your farmer's market that's available in your community? And really working with them to find the, if you want to talk about sort of how to do that, think about how you can help them get to those places where they can stretch the dollar and stretch it in a healthy way for their kids. And getting their kids active in their community where they are and making them feel safe in doing it.
Yeah, we got invited to the White House by Michelle Obama and her Let's Move campaign. And they really love what we're doing. They endorsed our content. And they've been extremely helpful introducing us to people that are setting up farmer markets in these communities and food deserts to for us to help create awareness and create videos. I mean, because we're a media and entertainment company, right? I mean, Milton's the only health nutrition on here on this panel. And so we have the vehicle that's connected to the kids, and we have their attention. And so the White House is now helping us make sure that the people who are doing the groundwork in the food deserts are connecting with us so that we can help them create videos and content that's educating on what to buy or where to go within your videos. Like, we just shot a video with Milton and Slim Thug in Houston about how to buy
healthier food.
How to, you know, healthier, affordable food on like a $20 budget. Because healthy food is, organic food is expensive, but a bustle of bananas is like really only like, I think it's like $1.99 or something. So there are options. And one thing that I want to acknowledge that we really saw that was amazing was we took Fat Joe into the Bronx because he wanted to show how the Bronx was a food desert. And we went into all these bodegas to show that there was no fruit in there. And there's actually fruit now in there. It's not organic, and it wasn't the reddest of the apples, but it was definitely fruit in there. And Joe was like, man, I'm so sorry. Like, I brought y'all out here with the crew, and, you know, there's actually fruit coming in here. I was like, Joe, look, I think this is a good thing because it's showing that there people are asking for it. And they're starting to, you know, do the best that they can, the store owners, to get this fruit supply in there. So I think it's a small change, but hopefully over time and enough people asking it, you know, it'll become a bigger difference.
And if you can make sure that you partner with healthcare providers too, that'd be great.
I would, if anyone could help us with healthcare providers, because we've been banging our head against the wall trying to figure out how to work with them. Like I said, I don't want to mention names, but we talked to them for 6 months and they were like, great. And then they were like, oh, by the way, no artist can show their tattoos. And then another one was like, I don't want to get into it. So if anyone in this audience could help, we'd come talk to me.
And part of what we're trying to do is, you know, like I said, a lot of times in school when you see people getting healthy, it's always so corny. So we don't want to promote that being healthy is corny. We want to promote that there, you can be you. All, you know, when I, and you know, for me, for us, we made a complete lifestyle change. And but you know, if you start small things, little things, you know, we're not saying everybody has to make a complete lifestyle change. Because I still smoke. You know, I'm a car carrying member in L.A. I have a medicinal marijuana car. You know, but I mean, I'm not here to promote that, but I'm just saying, like, you know, I still drink, you know, but I do make extremely healthy choices because a lot of times we get overwhelmed with the partying, the, all of that, and also nobody's working out and you're eating bad food. So, you know, and it's just a combination of, you know, making little changes, you know, such as health changes with what you eat exercising. You don't have to run 5 miles. Everybody doesn't have to run 5 miles a day, but if you exercise for 30 minutes a day, it'll make a tremendous difference how you feel.
Fat Joe lost 120 pounds just walking around the block. I mean, it's amazing. And so, I mean, to speak to Paul's thing, it's most health diets and lifestyle are saying, like, change 190 degrees, and that's just, it's not realistic, or 180 degrees. It's not realistic, and it usually doesn't work, and that's why most things, you know, you lose 20 pounds and then you gain 30 pounds. We're just saying do something, make small changes, because once you start doing it, you build up the confidence, you see the changes, and then you start adjusting to what fits for you, and then you start making some major changes.
Thank you, guys. We have just a few more minutes, so I'd like to try to get through three questions. I'm going to ask both our panelists and our question askers to just keep it concise so we can get through a couple more.
Hi. I have a question. Well, I mean, kind of like a comment and a question. I just want to say to Paul, that's really bad. Dude, I've been following you since, like, Get Your Mind Correct and People's Champ, and this is the first time I've seen you since, like, a few years, and you look completely different, dude. Yeah. That's really badass. So, like
thank you, man. Awesome. Thank you. I feel good too. I feel good.
I'm from the age, so I was like, oh, thank you, man. Damn, there's Paul here. But okay, so my question for the panel is, y'all are kind of on the, I mean, you're at a interactive tech conference, and you're at the forefront of trying to push, you know, videos to help people lead better lives and everything. What are your feelings on traditional, like, kind of grassroots campaign? Because I go back to Houston all the time. We do parkour, and it happens, like, every week. Like, we're still running around Tranquility and Allen Parkway and Kirby. And I bet you, in addition to all the touring that y'all do, like, if you start small grass campaigns, like, wherever you touch base at, something regular, we're like, oh, man.
Well, I mean, we feel right now that Feel Rich is a grassroots movement, because we didn't, I mean, this is all self-funded, so we don't have a lot of money. We're just using social media. You know, we have a website that's pretty basic. We have a YouTube channel. We have Twitter and Facebook, and then we have the content, and then we tour with Crystal to promote it, and that's really what's attracting a lot of attention. We also have a partnership with the Bar Stars, which is the video that we played before, and they're kind of like parkour. They basically just work out wherever. They work out on scaffoldings. They work out. Their whole thing is you don't need a gym. You know, the floor is free. Do 15 push-ups. You know, these guys take it a little extreme because they're, like, doing dips in the kitchen while they're, like, waiting to cook their microwave food. But, you know, we're teaming up with people that already have a huge following that are promoting free fitness and health and helping to build the Feel Rich community. So I feel that we are a grassroots movement.
Hi, my name is Maren Connery, and I work for Kaiser Permanente, and we'd love to talk to you.
I would love to talk to you.
I have a question, too. So this conversation is all about how this is tracked so fantastically with more of sort of like an urban demographic, but this is just great. There's just so much energy in this, and I can see it just spreading beyond, you know, starting urban, going local, going national, and just transcending all of these different, you know, levels of you know, society. And have you seen, you know, different people interested in this that you're like, wow, I have no idea that they're...
I would say that, I mean, yeah, I mean, the fact that the White House contacted us was, like, really cool, because we're definitely not, like, PG. We're not even G. And so that was really exciting to, you know, it felt like that we kind of got attention. But what's most inspiring and kind of cool to see is when Crystal comes to a city, we were expecting mostly African Americans or Latinos. And if you saw in the video, it's everyone's coming, you know, all different ages as well. White, and like I think Paul or Crystal said, this is really not a black thing or a white thing or a Latino thing. It's a health thing. And we're starting to see that everyone's coming out to want to be a part of it. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, we're making health fun, and our fitness concerts are very hip-hop, and people don't realize they're exercising. They think they're at a concert, but they're really exercising. And everyone wants to have a good time. So people are coming out all different colors and ages.
Y'all really have to see this Zumba class. I mean, there are women who are like Bible study teachers popping it. Like, seriously, breaking it down. The same women that would usually be complaining about the music, you know, those same women are in there popping it right next to my homegirl from Fifth Ward. You know, like, you know, it's like a gumbo. It's beautiful. I love seeing it. I love seeing it. And I think that, you know, the audience of Feel Rich is already spreading beyond, you know, the urban community. Because I'm telling you, all my Facebook friends, I have a very diverse group of friends, you know. I have the Real Housewives type women, and then I have my homegirls. And then I have my Zumba friends, who are all middle-aged, all different races of women, and housewives. And the Zumba, for them, is like a way of reliving the past, or just revamping what's going on now, you know, getting your groove back. I'm serious. The energy in the room is ridiculous. It's awesome. It's like being in a nightclub, you know, for an hour. But, you know, I have all this whole diverse group of women, and they're interested. They want to know what Feel Rich is about. Oh, really? Is it just for the urban community? You know, or they want, all these women want to know, and they're watching these videos, you know. So it's exposing all different types of people to new things. And again, with hip-hop is no longer just a black thing, you know. Anything you hear on the radio now that's supposedly hip-hop has techno music in it, you know. Let's be real about it. So, which is beautiful. It's awesome that it's no longer just a black thing, yeah, or a Hispanic thing. And Zumba. I've been listening to Latin music for most of my life. I went to a performing arts middle school in the hood, and at Cinco de Mayo, we performed one Latin song, along with like some booty shaking stuff with my class. But yeah, we performed Suavemente, Besame, and ever since then, I was like, suave, anytime the music came on. And I would get, I'd ask all my black friends, let's go to the, you know, can we go salsa dancing? And they're like, girl,
Can you guys see why we love her? Like, okay, no. Yeah. I want to thank all of our panelists, especially Crystal, Paul, Milton Harris, Sean Ullman. Follow us on Facebook, find us on Twitter. We're going to be here for a few minutes. Thank you so much for staying through the panel.
I got to say one quick thing. I got to give a shout out to Michael Mitchell, who set this up for us. Thanks. You very much for this.
Michael, thank you.
We're going to be around too. If you guys want to talk, or at least just pass on a business card, we'd love to talk.